Great Grace series, and everywhere I turn, I'm looking like, okay, God, I gotta trust that. I gotta trust the process. But it's real. Every time you look and you think they're going on in your life, you gotta trust the process. You gotta trust it, because God won't leave you, He won't fail you, He won't forsake you. But sometimes it's us.
Okay.
So you gotta trust the process. All right? Amen. Pastor George.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory
thank
to
Lord.
God.
Thank
Amen. Can we give God some praise in this thank place? Amen. Lord. We can do better than that. Amen. Can we give God some praise? I didn't say just anybody. I said our God, our Savior, our Healer, our Protector, our Provider, all that He is and He has done for us. What an awesome and mighty God we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As the children, amen. Y'all getting ready to get ready for a children's church. Today, if you all can stay standing, we're going to be in the book of Genesis. Genesis 45, verses 1 through 3 is what we're going to read from today. And it reads as follows. Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room. He said to his attendants, "Out, all of you." So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians could hear him, and word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Today's message is, "I am Joseph." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I am Joseph. I believe all of us go through defining moments in our life. Yeah. The defining moments that undoubtedly end up showing not only us, but other people who we are. There was a boxer who won Olympic gold medals and was a heavyweight champion. He went by Cassius Clay. Then he had a meeting and he got changed. He said, "I can no longer go by my slave name. I want to be called Muhammad Ali."
Come on,
that was a defining moment to change his name and for the world to call him something different. Michael Jordan, he wasn't always Michael Jordan. When he got to college, he was Mike Jordan. Nobody called him Michael. He was Mike Jordan. And to that time, to that game, that championship game in 1982, he hit the game-winning shot. And all across the world, he became Michael Jordan.
Come on.
Yeah, even in the Black Panther, if y'all remember, I don't know if y'all want to spoil part two, but if you've seen part one, when he was fighting at the beginning, and they were doing the ritual, and he got stabbed with the spear, and his mama said, "Hey, show him who you are." He said, "I am Prince T'Chaka. I am the prince. I am the son of a king." He had to let everyone know around him who he was.
Yeah, that's good.
I believe at some point in our life, not only do we got to let ourselves know, but other people know who we are as well.
That's it.
Here we are almost at the end of this series about trusting the process. And we see the main character, Joseph, who has been on an emotional roller coaster. Follow me, an emotional roller coaster. He goes from being a young man, a teenager, being his father's favorite, loved by his father dearly, right? He goes on to be hated by his brother, sold into slavery, accused of raping Potiphar's wife. He goes to jail. He's interpreting dreams. The cupbearer forgot about him. He's second in command in Egypt. He has all this stuff going on. Now he's face to face with the brothers who betrayed him. We see in the opening text, he is weeping loudly. He's broken down. He tells them, "I am Joseph." And the Bible says they were stunned and speechless. Not because he was alive only, but because he had the authority, the opportunity, and the justifiable reason to punish them, but he didn't.
Come on.
You hear what I said? He had the authority, the opportunity, and realized, y'all did me dirty. I could have been just in what I did, but he didn't do it. My God, can somebody know who you are by your way of forgiving them? Yeah. Your forgiveness shows who you are, especially when it comes to being in God, right? That I'm able to forgive. I'm able to let that go. I'm able not to hold that over your head. Even though I should, I won't. Even though I could, I'm not. So they were stunned because Joseph didn't get rid of them, right? But I think they were also stunned because he was alive. Remember when they met him just a few chapters ago, they said, "Look, it was 12 of us. One of our brothers are dead." They believed he'd be gone and dead. And it's a trip when people know they did you wrong and you should be dead. It's going to leave them speechless when they see you alive. How are you not dead? We threw you in a pit. How are you not dead? We sold you as a slave. And now you standing in front of people who can't believe you still here. How did you survive, but you thrived as well? How did you survive and become second in command? You should have been dead, but not only are you alive, you mean to tell me you second in command in Egypt? How that work? You were down, but you were not defeated. You were forgotten, but you didn't fail. Amen. Trust in the process. We got to allow God to be God and lift us up out of those pits.
That's good.
So we're going to trust the process. One thing we got to have, watch this, is godly reflection. Say godly reflection.
Godly reflection.
Genesis 45 and 5. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. My God, I love Joseph. We see him mature right here. We see him grow in God. It's a trip because we get mad at our situation. We get mad at God at our situation, but we can't see what God sees. We get so upset. God, why am I going through this right now? God, why am I right here right now? God, don't you love me? Don't you care for me? Why is this my plight in life right now? And God says, shut up. You don't see what I see.
Period.
You see us right in front of you. I see over you. I see the future. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. You see tomorrow, and you can't even really see tomorrow. You can't even see really nothing. You don't know what's going to happen in your next hour. I know what's going to happen in the next 10 years, 20, 30, 40. And then we get mad at God because we don't see what he sees. He tells them, it was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. Sometimes you're the only one God can trust with the vision. Sometimes you're the only one God can trust with the dream. Sometimes you're the only one God can trust with the resources. So I got to send you ahead. You got to go through some extra stuff. Everybody want a king. Everybody want to be the king, but nobody want to wear the crown. Come on. Everybody want the king's plate, but nobody want to do what the king got to do. He said, look here, you're the one I chose. You got to go ahead of them because you're the one I trust to preserve them. Being sent ahead sometimes means there will be a season of loneliness. You got to know that, amen. You got to get through. It's going to be a season of loneliness sometimes. It's lonely, it's lonely at the top. It might be, but not with God, amen. You got to understand that sometimes God got to move people away from you so he can get you where you need to be so you can help them too. Because if you stay with them, you're never going to get what you need to be, amen. So he says, look, it's going to be a season of loneliness. Sometimes it's a season of being uncomfortable as well. Don't nobody like to be uncomfortable. We get upset. We get mad. Nobody likes to be uncomfortable. But guess what? Nothing great happens being comfortable, my God. As I look at my goddaughter, praise God, amen. I believe she's a little uncomfortable right now, amen. Praise God. I love her to death, amen. But I see her, amen. But she's blessed. But guess what? So out of that uncomfortability, something great coming out of that, amen. Something's going to come out of that that's great. That'll give her a love she never even known before. But it don't come for being comfortable. If you want God to move in your life, you better be prepared to be uncomfortable. You better be prepared to be lonely in some seasons. You better be prepared that it's just going to be me and God in this season. You got to be prepared. Because guess what? Joseph's already hurting. Why? Because he shared his dreams too early. And that's why he's at where he's at now. Because God was trying to prepare him back then, but he opened his mouth. So now I can't have you right here when you could have grew up with everybody. I had a different plan. God had a different plan, I'm sure, that could have worked for Joseph had he shut up. But he talked too much. So now I'm going to send you ahead. Now you got to go through more pain, strife, and grief. But my plan is still going to be fulfilled.
That's
my purpose still going to come to way, amen. So I love that. So our lives are to God. Watch this. Are like a giant puzzle. Anybody ever did any big puzzles? Praise God, amen. I don't think our kids do puzzles no more. I don't think that's a thing no more. Do they even do puzzles? Have y'all ever did puzzles? I know y'all. Have y'all ever did puzzles? We used to do puzzles when we was little. We had puzzles. We didn't have iPads and iPhones and tablets and games. We had puzzles. And one thing about a puzzle was a trip. When you got a big puzzle, it was hard, amen. First thing we like to do is look at the boxes, look at the picture, amen. I didn't even put this picture together. They give me a mind frame, a shape of how I want to put this puzzle together. Yeah. But when it comes to God, amen, our life is like a puzzle, but he don't let us see the box.
Come on.
Yeah, it's like all the pieces are just dumped in front of us right now. And it don't make sense. We got all these pieces all over the table, and we have no box to have a picture or a visual of what it may look like. He might give us a glimpse, but he don't give us the whole picture. Having the whole picture makes the puzzle a little bit easier. I can tell that's brown, and ain't nothing brown in the middle, so I ain't putting that piece in the middle. I can tell that's green, ain't nothing green on the edges. So if it's green, it got to go somewhere in the middle. And that's how we expect God to do our lives, but God don't work that way, amen. No. God might give you a vision. He might show you what he's going to do, but he's not going to tell you how to do. He's not going to show you every single step of the way, so you got to understand that. I'm sure when Joseph got the coat, he's like, I'm loving this puzzle piece. I'm sure that when his daddy was showing him all the love, I'm like, he loved it. I love this puzzle piece. But what happened when he got thrown into the pit? I'm sure that didn't make sense in the puzzle. The dream made sense. The pit don't make sense to the dream.
Wow.
Slavery don't make sense to the dream. False accusations don't make sense to the dream. Getting not trusted by the cupbearer don't make sense to the dream. Going to see Pharaoh, becoming second in command. That looked like that's good, but now it's a famine. My brothers are coming back into my life. Why is all this going on? But God has a plan.
Yes.
He reminded his brother three times in his few verses that God sent me ahead of you to save your families and to preserve many survivors. So it was God that sent me here, not you.
Yeah.
I dare you to tell that somebody that hurt you. I dare you to tell somebody that broke your heart. I know you thought you did that to me. I know you thought you, but it was God that allowed you to break my heart. It was God that allowed you to betray me. It was God that allowed you to kick me to the curb. It was God that allowed you to do that so I can get to where I need to be in life. Thank you for giving up on me. Thank you for lying, whatever it was. Thank you. He said, God sent me here. Watch this. I am the one he made advisor to Pharaoh, the manager of his entire place and governor of all Egypt. Think about what God is doing. He took a lonely boy from Hebrew all the way to second in command just to preserve the life of his family and everybody else. Who am I talking to today?
Wow.
Because your puzzle piece ain't adding up and you're frustrated. Your puzzle ain't making sense and you're mad. You can't figure out your puzzle. You're trying to figure out and you're trying to put everything. You got the wrong pieces and they ain't fitting. It look like it fit, but it don't. Yeah. Ain't that the most frustrating thing in a puzzle? When you got a piece that look like it fit, it seems like it should be there. It got almost the right shape, but a little bit of that corner ain't right. A little bit of that curve don't fit. And you're trying to fit it in there and God's saying, no, that's not the right piece. And you keep trying to force the wrong piece in the right place, you're going to spend more time waiting on me. You're going to spend more time waiting on your blessing. You're going to spend more time waiting on your deliverance and your healing. Quit trying to force those things in the wrong pieces.
Jesus, that's good.
I know they might have lied on you, but you got to remind them, God said it had to happen to me. That's a puzzle piece. I know they may have cheated on you and broke your heart. I get it, but that's a puzzle piece. I know they might have gave up on you. Maybe they even tried to kill you. But you're alive. It's a puzzle piece.
Yeah, that's good.
You are still here, so we're still part of the puzzle. God is piecing together of your life.
That's good.
Okay. Maybe y'all feel this. It's a young artist. An artist named Purvis Young. He's a self-taught urban impressionist from the Miami Overtown neighborhood. He's a hood artist. Amen. I set out to say he's a hood artist. Amen. He's someone that grew up in the hood and does art. He utilizes, watch this, discarded objects, oftentimes broken pieces of material, slabs of wood, scraps of cardboard, unhinged doors, and yellow ledger books to show the African-American experience through pictures. My God. So he takes things that people don't want, makes them into art to show the African-American experience. Now, all the stuff I just named, he uses slabs of wood, scraps of cardboard, unhinged doors, yellow ledger books, sounds like it's worth just about nothing, right?
Yeah.
It don't seem like it's worth much. It seems like nobody wants it. But you go look at his pictures, they range anywhere from $4,000 to
$13,000.
He takes stuff nobody wants, stuff that nobody uses, takes it and makes it into something good and masterful. Follow me. God takes broken pieces. He takes things nobody wants. He takes everything that may not seem good in your life. He puts it together and he makes a masterpiece. Y'all better know who the potter is. Amen. You are the clay. You better let God work out the masterpiece of your life. God is trying to make you into something beautiful and something great. But you got to wait and allow the master to do his work.
Let him do it. Thank you, Lord.
So Joseph and his brothers begin talking, y'all. They begin talking and they conversating. He's asking questions. How's dad? What's going on back home? They're in disbelief. They're all talking, having a good time. And the news reaches the Pharaoh's palace, y'all. It reaches the Pharaoh's palace. So Pharaoh says, look here, hey, I need you to go get your family. What? Your family here? I thought you didn't have no family. I thought you didn't have nobody. Go get your fam. Bring them on down. I need you to go to Canaan. Get your brothers. Get your sister. Get everybody. I'm going to give y'all 10 donkeys. Get all y'all stuff. Bring everything back to Egypt, y'all. So look at this. Genesis 45, 18 and 20. Then get your father and all of your families and return here to me. I will give you the very best land in Egypt, and you will eat from the best the land produces. Don't worry about your personal belongings, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Amen. Y'all miss y'all shout. Amen. Y'all miss y'all shout. Okay. Next thing in trusting the process, watch this, is godly restoration. Say godly restoration. Yeah. I'm sorry. Ain't nothing better than getting a blessing you didn't expect to get. Ain't nothing better than God dropping something on your lap you didn't ask for. You didn't know it was coming. It was more than you could imagine. Amen. I love this. You got to think about this. He goes to Pharaoh, says, look here, go get your family. Why is this so important? Why is this so magnitude, right? Magnified is because it's a famine going on. They struggling to eat. Ain't nobody got no resources. People about to die. They hurting. And Egypt got everything at this point. Joseph been taking everything, helping people out, taking their money and giving them grain, storing it for 7 years. They about to go from a land that's barren, even though Canaan at one point is going to be the land of milk and honey, but right now it's barren. They get to go from barren to fruitful, my God. They get to go from low supply to high supply. And they get to go just like that, right, Lady Thomas? But just like this, though, but not only they get to go, the king said, I will give you the very best of the land. You don't get to just come here, amen. Yes. You get to have the whole Egyptian experience, amen. Yes. Joseph, your brother, my second in command, your brother, oh, no, go get your father. Get your whole family. Bring them to me. They get everything you got, my God. Yes. They get the best fruit of the land. They get the best land. Watch this. I love this. It doesn't reflect the resources that they have, but God has said, I'm going to give you the best. Why is that important? Because when God's in it, you get the best. I'm sorry, when God with it, I don't get leftovers. When God in it, I don't get scraps. When God in it, I get the best of the best. I might not deserve it, but I know who I am. I know who I serve. I might not deserve it. I might not be worth it, amen. But for some reason, he keep on blessing me. Some reason, he keep on showing out. He says, come to Egypt and get the best of the land and get the best that we produce. They get the best because of their brother. Somebody will get the best because they connected to you. You don't know who you are. Somebody will get the best that they can because they connected to you. Somebody going to get a blessing all because of who they connected to. Amen. Okay. So Pharaoh told them, come to Egypt. Get your brother. Get everybody. Maybe y'all feel this. Pharaoh said, hey, go get everybody. Come to Egypt. He's the king. Come get everybody. Pharaoh's yes changed their life. Okay. Bill Russell, an NBA legend who played for the Boston Celtics, right? When he was a junior in high school, standing 6'7", he tried out for the junior varsity team and was cut. 6'7", you're talking about back in the 50s, he seemed like a giant, I'm sure, back then. He's 6'7", tried out for the junior varsity, not the varsity, junior varsity team, and he got cut. He was discouraged. He's walking through the hallway of the school and the varsity coach sees him. Says, hey, I need you to come to tryouts. He told the varsity coach, I'm not even good enough. I just had junior varsity tryouts yesterday and I was cut. I didn't make the team. I just tried out for junior varsity. That coach told me I wasn't good enough. The varsity coach said, I don't coach junior varsity. I coach varsity. I don't coach that level. I coach this level. I need you to come here with me. I need to bring you. And can I tell you, as a junior starting off his career, he got a scholarship to San Francisco State. And that late in his life, he still got a scholarship. Then he became a number one pick by the Boston Celtics. Back then when black people wasn't even in the NBA, right? Not only that, he is the most prolific champion. He has 11 championship rings to add to his career. Not only that, he was the first NBA coach, black coach, amen. All of that in his career. Matter of fact, the NBA Finals Award is named the Bill Russell Award. And Bill Russell, y'all, he just died this summer. And if you watch the NBA, every player has number six on their jersey. Every court has a number six on their court. You mean to tell me a no back then could have killed his destiny? A no back then, he wouldn't arrive what he was called to be, but all he needed was one yes, amen. I don't know about y'all. If I got one yes, amen, from God, that's all I need. If I got one yes, I can take a million no's. I got one yes from God, I don't care who's against me. I don't care how many odds. I don't care what they say or what they do. I just need God to say yes. God say yes, I can work with that. God say yes, I can move with that. I can grow with that. This man's whole life was changed because God told that coach to say yes. Jacob and Israel's life was changed because God spoke to Pharaoh and said yes. God want to help you out too. God got things he want to do in your life. And God going to use somebody to say yes to you. And when somebody tells you yes through God, you better roll with it. With God, when they tell you yes, you better continue to say, yes, God, here I am. Yes. Yeah, God want to give you the best job, not just some job, the best. Amen. My God deal with the best. He don't deal with less. He deal with the best. God want to give you, watch this, the best business plan. Amen. Not just an okay one, but the best. God want to give you the best marriage, the best partnership. Everything God is involved with is the best. But because we don't understand puzzle pieces, because it don't look like the best to us, because it looks like so little to us, because it looks like it's not fitting right now to us, we give up.
Jesus.
And God said, I had this for you. God, I had this for you. I wanted to bless you this way. I wanted to give you this, but because you didn't trust me. I know they hurt you. I know it painful. I know it made you cry. But I had to do that to get you to this point. Because Joseph, if I didn't do what I had to do with you, you would have never been able to treat your brothers right. If I didn't do what I had to do in you, unless you experience being done wrong by people that had power over you, you wouldn't know how to handle your brothers when they came back in your life. If I didn't let you experience that, if I didn't let you sit in jail and be humble for a few years, if I didn't let you sit there and be humble and show you it ain't the cupbearer, it is me who's going to get you out of here. It ain't none of your thinking. It ain't none of your wisdom. It is me that's going to get you. If I didn't let you sit here, you wouldn't be ready to save your whole family and lineage.
Thank you, Lord.
You had to get ready. So look, y'all, they all head back home. They grab their family, y'all. They go straight to the father and say, look here, Joseph is still alive. Can you imagine Israel's face? He just told them, look here, y'all trying to take my sons away from me. Y'all trying to take Benjamin away. I ain't letting them go. He lets Benjamin go. My heart is broken, but I'm going to let God be God. I'm going to do all that. So then he says, Joseph is alive. I know it messes him up, but then he says he's governor of all Egypt. He's governor of all Egypt. You mean the boy I thought was dead is running things?
Come on.
You mean the boy I thought was dead? I knew he was dead. They was no more. Not only is he alive, but he's second in command.
Yeah.
He sent y'all here with a whole welcoming party, 10 donkeys, all kind of grain to come get all of us and take us back to Egypt.
Yeah.
The next thing, watch this, is godly reformation. Amen. Say godly reformation. Amen.
Godly reformation.
Everyone arrives in Egypt, and you got to believe this ain't a small amount of people, y'all. Israel had 12 sons. He had daughters, too. He got wives still alive. Rachel's gone, but he got wives that's still alive. He got 12 sons, and he got daughters. They all got kids. They pulling up. They're a few hundred deep. They are for real a whole family or generation, right? They are deep going into Egypt. So they sitting there while Pharaoh is welcoming them in. He said, look here, on the strength of Joseph, I'm going to welcome y'all. Because if y'all remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about it when his brothers first came. The Egyptians didn't even want to eat with the Hebrews. So there was still some disdain between Egyptians and Hebrews. They still didn't get along. It was something, some disdain and some disagreements between them, right?
Yeah.
Culturally, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So he said, on the strength of Joseph, I'm going to welcome y'all.
Come on.
He brings them to the table.
Come on.
But just because you get welcome to the table, don't mean you don't bring anything to it. Preach, PG. I'm doing the best I can.
Come on.
Just because you get welcome to the table, don't mean you come empty-handed. Just because you get welcome to the table, don't mean you don't bring nothing to it. Yeah, Pharaoh is welcoming you in there, but Pharaoh is also thinking, what can they do? We are thriving people. I'm about to bring 200-300 people in here. What gifts do you have? What talents do you have? How can you add to Egypt and not just subtract?
Yeah.
I'm willing to welcome y'all in here, but I want y'all to add some value to what I got. Joseph has shown me his value. He's second in command. He interprets dreams. He's smart. He made a plan that we still thriving right now. So I need to know, what are y'all going to bring to the table?
Wow.
So many times we get opportunities and we get invited to the table and we don't want to bring that to it. And then we don't bring nothing to it, and then we get mad when they replace our seats. We don't add no value, then we get mad when a seat get replaced. We get mad how I keep getting passed over on these promotions when I've been here longer than them. I've been here longer than them, I know everything, but you ain't showing you add value. You ain't showing them how smart you are and how brilliant you are. You ain't showing them how well you are. You articulating all these things. No, show them your value. That's what they're looking for. So Pharaoh says, look at this. Joseph already know how Pharaoh think. He been around him a long time, y'all. He already knows how Pharaoh thinks. So look at this. Genesis 46, 33 and 34. Then he said, when Pharaoh calls for you and asks you about your occupation, he's going to ask y'all what y'all do. You must tell him, we your servants has raised livestock all our lives, as our ancestors have always done. When you tell him this, he will let you live here in the region of Goshen, for the Egyptians despise shepherds. So look at this. Joseph has been there all these years. He knows how to speak Egyptian, right? He has Egyptian dialect. He's familiar with the culture. So now that his family has come, he can give them some insight. Yeah. He can give them a one up. Amen. Thank God for God putting that in him to not only understand and become part of that culture, so he can lift his family up when he get there. Amen.
Yeah,
he says, look here, they don't like to do this work. This dirty work. Amen. Yeah. They don't like to take care of the animals. They in the temples, and they like to be looking pretty and looking good. They don't like to deal with the animals. That's our niche. So when you come here, make sure you tell him what we've been doing, our ancestors, so you get this specific land. It's a great land,
yeah,
and y'all can be here and live here and prosper in it.
Yeah, that's good.
So while you are waiting on God, watch this, because we talked about what, that's what happens when you wait, right? You got to wait on God sometimes. You got to let God move. You got to allow God to be God and fix some things in your life. But also, watch this, sometimes you got to work while you wait. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. I know I said wait on God. You got to wait on the Lord. Wait, I said, you got to trust God and wait on his timing. Wait on what he wants to do. But sometimes, not sometimes, really all the time, you got to work while you wait. Amen. Because there was a time when Joseph had to micromanage his brothers. Y'all remember that several chapters ago at the beginning?
Yeah.
Israel, go out there and see what your brothers are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Here come the dreamer again. Here come, they mad at him. He had to, you ever been micromanaged at work? Amen, praise God. That is like the worst feeling ever, when somebody's standing over your shoulder, looking and making sure you do every little thing you do. Like, I'm grown, I know what I need to do. I know how to do this job, I've been doing this job so long. Micromanaging gets on your nerves, right? But Joseph had to micromanage his brother because they really wasn't doing their job. He got put that gift in him to manage, to observe and see what's going on. So he had to micromanage them over the years, but now Joseph gone.
Yeah.
Benjamin too little.
Yeah.
So if they don't do their job well, family don't survive.
Yeah.
Maybe God puzzle piece had to move Joseph out of the puzzle piece so they would grow up.
Woo.
Maybe God had to move Joseph out of their lives so they would become the men their father needed them to become. Because as long as Joseph had to look over them and micromanage his older brothers, it was always going to be a problem. They weren't going to give their all. They weren't going to do what they needed to do. But now, because there is no Joseph now, if we don't do this, we're not going to eat. Our children aren't going to survive. Our family not going to survive. I got a reason. I got a why now. I got to make sure these things happen.
Yeah, that's good.
So over time, they had to get significantly better at becoming shepherds.
Come on.
They had to get better at doing what God called them to do. So God is trying to hook them up. But they have an occupation.
Yeah.
What is God trying to hook you up with, but you ain't figured out the occupation part yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God's trying to hook you up. He's trying to take you to another level, and you won't go get that certification.
Mm-hmm.
You know you need it. You know it's going to help you. You know it's going to change your life,
yeah,
but you won't do it. God's trying to hook you up, but you won't go get that degree. I'll get some news for you. It's 2022, almost 23. In 4 more years, it's going to be 2026. You hear it, whether or not. You have a degree, you ain't gonna have a degree.
Yeah.
So you better get your butt going on that degree if you want that degree. Maybe God's calling you to get a master's degree. What you waiting on? That's what you want. And God gonna help you get there to another level. What are you waiting on? God has got doors to open up for you. He's trying to bless you. But you ain't working while you waiting. Maybe that position, the job is for you. Amen. Maybe you put in enough work and that promotion is yours for the taking. But you ain't putting in the work. You gotta work while you wait.
That's good.
See, when your time comes, you're gonna have to go before Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you're gonna have to go before somebody that has more power and more influence than you.
Yeah.
Someone that can really literally change your life, that can really bless you and knock your socks off. And when you get before them, you're gonna have to have the skills you need to succeed.
Yeah.
You can't show up there unprepared and not ready, because you might only get one shot. You can't show up there unprepared and not ready when God says, I open this door for you to walk through, and then you crawling through it, you lazy through it, when God says, I'm trying to open the door. If they wasn't ready to be shepherds, I'm sure the land they got, Egypt, though it might have been good, it wouldn't have been what they needed. It wouldn't have been the best. But because they could do what they needed to do in their occupation, they got the best of what God had to offer.
That's it. That's good. That's good.
So you can't just be depending on God to do it all. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
God does what God does, but we got to do what we need to do as well. God's not a genie in the bottle. He's not hocus pocus. He's not magic. He God. God is faithful to those who are faithful. God opens up doors to those that pick the lock and open it and go bust through it. God, you wonder why some people are blessed It ain't because they did everything right. It ain't because they perfect.
Come on.
Because they pursued God, and God said, I honor that.
And
I'm going to push you in front of the right person.
Okay.
I believe God gave us, and I'm almost done, y'all. I believe God gave us a real life testimony of this. One of my favorite movies, I think I'm going to watch it this holiday season because I haven't watched it in a while. The Pursuit of Happiness. Have y'all seen The Pursuit of Happiness? One of my favorite movies. A brother named Chris Gardner. And you watch the movie, then you know how amazing this story is, that Will Smith did an awesome job playing this, because it's a true story. In fact, he walks past Will Smith at the end of the movie, the real man. And if you don't know it, he's going around selling these big old, I don't know what these things are, these big old gizmos, I'm going to call them, this big old thing, going doctor office to doctor office. Nobody wants to buy it. He's in trouble with his taxes. The IRS snatches the money out of his account. He has no money for rent. He has nothing. He's not selling his products. Then his wife says, you know what? I can't deal with it. His wife leaves him with his son. A man left with his son. He don't have no money. He don't have no woman. He don't have nothing but these gizmos. So he's forced to be homeless. He's forced. What does he do? Sometimes he goes and stays at the shelter. Sometimes he goes and stays at the bathroom at the train station. He has all this stuff going on. And he so happens, walks up on an internship at a stock brokerage. I'm sorry, when you grown, you ain't trying to do no internships. Amen. Praise God. That's for college students. That's for young folk. Amen. When you grown and got kids and got responsibilities, you ain't trying to do no internship. But he says, I got to take this opportunity because it just might change my life. So he jumps into this internship, y'all. He jumps into it not knowing anything about stock brokerage. And he got all these young people in there that went to college for it, that studied for it, daddy's own companies. They got all kind of positions. They got all kind of people that know them. And he jumps in. Matter of fact, he only gets in because he knows how to do a Rubik's Cube, and the guy couldn't believe it. That's the only reason he got his foot in the door. You got to work while you wait, amen. You got to know what you got to do, amen. He knew he was good in math. He said, look, are you struggling? Give me that. Let me show you who I am. No, you don't know me. Yes, I'm black. Yes, I might not be the person you thought could do this job, but let me show you who I am. God opened up opportunity through a Rubik's Cube to get him in the door. What opportunity is God going to use to get your foot in the door? So he gets in the door, y'all, and he's in the door now. And now he realizes, oh my God, I got to get up early in the morning. I got to take my son to daycare in the morning, amen. I got to go catch buses to get here. Everybody else getting in the morning, they stretching, driving a nice car, getting here when they want to. They got no responsibilities. I got to leave the shelter. I got to worry about my stuff getting stolen. I got to carry this briefcase with me. I got to carry a gizmo or two just in case I'm able to sell one, right? He has all this going on, but he gets up every morning and gets to the job on time. Matter of fact, he gets there early. He drops his son off, gets to the job. He don't understand it all, so he's reading books on stock brokerage, and then he realized, I don't have as much time to try to get these deals with other people. So what I'm going to do, they go into the break room, they having water and sipping donuts, eating donuts and stuff. I can't go to the break room. I gotta do what I got to do. I ain't got time to play with y'all. I got to do what I got to do. He found out, look here, when people take the phone, no, we don't have phones and receivers no more, praise God. Our kids don't know nothing about that. But when we were little, you had to take a phone, you had to hang the phone up. You didn't push in all the time, right? You had to hang the phone up. So he realized, I can't hang the phone up. That cost me about 2-3 seconds. I'm just gonna hit the button real quick, amen, and go ahead and dial the next number, amen. I gotta figure out ways to get my advantage across so I can get through. So he's trying, he's pursuing, he's hurting, he's heartbreaking. It's so hard for him to get through this situation. It's 20 people and they only picking one. Eyes is stacked up against him. He black. Eyes stacked up against him. Don't know nothing about stockbrokers. Eyes stacked up against him. But he was faithful, he was committed, he worked to it. And then when the day came, my God, and then when the day comes to announce who got the job. When the day came, they said, Chris, welcome to the company. And Chris is a millionaire right now. Chris is still a stockbroker. Chris is still living a blessed life. Why? Because he was working while he was waiting.
That
God wants to do something in your life. But in trusting the process, you got to work while you wait. You can't sit there and think God going to do it all. You can't sit there and say, God, I believe he can. Don't get it wrong. He can do it all. But sometimes I got to go and help God do what God needs to do. Because if he, just like our children, if we give them the blessing when they ain't ready for it, it might destroy their life.
Yeah.
If we give them the blessing too early, it might mess up everything. So God has called us in this season of trusting the process that you got to know who you are. I believe all of us got a little bit of Joseph in us. I believe all of us have went through some odds. I believe all of us have dealt with some betrayal. I believe all of us have dealt with some heartache and pain. I believe all of us have been counted out, have been forgotten. Somebody tried to kill us and assassinate our character. Somebody tried to throw us down and keep us down and kick us down, but somehow, some way, we made it up. And when you make it up, you better give God the glory and say, God, yes, just like I am Joseph, I am George, I am Jennifer, I am Daniel, whoever your name, you better get up and tell them. Because God has something for your life. And God wants to bring you to that place. You got to praise this place. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Father God, we thank you, oh God, that we can trust you in this process. That it's a big puzzle, oh God. Life is every day is like a new puzzle piece sometimes. Every month, every week, and every year are puzzle pieces we are all trying to figure out. And what I come to figure out is that I'm never going to know every piece. I don't know every way to turn. I'm not going to know every corner. I'm not going to know every little thing about this piece of my life. But what I do know is that you're in control. And because I don't know every piece, I got to go to you so I can have peace. See, we forfeit our peace when we try to put the puzzle together ourselves. We forfeit our peace when we try to make every piece fit every situation. And God's saying, you ain't got no peace because you want to be in control of the pieces. But if you come to me for your peace and let me place the pieces where they need to be, you will get your peace. God, help us, oh God, to trust you like never before. Yeah, I pray, oh God, today, oh God, as we grow, as not only as a congregation, but and our individual walk, that we get to know, oh God, that we need you every second, every day, every hour. That we need your presence. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need your love. We need your strength. We need everything you have to offer because I can't make it on my own. I can't. I've tried it on my own long enough. I've cried too many tears. I fell down too many times. I bumped my head too many times. I got too many scars. I got too many war wounds just because I was trying to do things my own way. In this season, oh God, I'm trusting the process of God. In this season, oh God, I'm believing you're going to do it how you want to do it and when you want to do it. In this season, oh God, I'm giving it all to you, Father God. In this season, I'm handling it all over, oh God. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to think. I'm going to pray and work while I wait. For you to open up the right door. So when it comes, I'm ready. In Jesus' name we pray, man. Amen. 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 God, one more praise in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, giving glory and honor to God. I'm thankful to what God is doing. I believe everyone in here, praise God, is saved. Amen. If you're not saved, though, it's between you and God. If you're not saved, I do want to give you an opportunity to accept Christ. If you're not saved, but if you need special prayer, we want to pray with you. Maybe you need something, some special prayer, so something you're dealing with, something that's beyond that you want to have personally. Amen. I want to extend the opportunities for you, whatever it may be. But we trust God that He's going to help you, that He's going to guide you, whatever you stand in the need of. Amen. If you got to come get prayer every week, make no difference to us. Amen. That's what we're here for. Amen. We should never be embarrassed about needing prayer. We should never be embarrassed about crying at the altar. That's what's a good thing about God. We can fall down at our face. We can fall down and cry and say, God, here I am, here I am. Take me as I am and all my faults and everything that I got, I'm bringing it all to you. God honors that. He loves that. That's why the Bible says, cast your cares upon Him. Because He cares for you. Cast all your every. He want to hear about it. He already know what your problem you got, but He want to hear you say it. Amen. Just like our children, us to have. I know some of y'all got single parents, but us to have multiple children. Everybody got different taste buds. Praise God. Amen. Don't nobody never want to eat the same thing. Everybody, somebody want this. Somebody don't eat this. Somebody want this. You like? Can we just agree? What do y'all want? But if they don't tell me what they would like, I might bring home something that somebody's allergic to. I might bring home something that somebody just don't like, can't eat, just don't stand the taste of it. But they gotta communicate that to me. I'm still going to fulfill their need, but I need them to communicate. God wants to help us and fulfill our needs, but we got to communicate. So if you need prayer, whatever you stand in need of today, I want to give you this opportunity. Amen. Any way, shape, form, or fashion, if you need special prayer or you need a church home, whatever the case may be, we want to open the doors to the church as well. But we want to make sure that we are helping you. Amen. Praise God. Whatever you need. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 For you being God all by yourself. Amen. Anybody else that's standing in the need of prayer. Amen. Y'all know me. I know I don't rush it and I don't force it. Amen. You get it between you and God. But if you feel God tugging at your heart, God says, when you feel me knocking on your heart, open up and let me abide in with you. Let me come and sup with you. I want to be in there with you. If you need something from God this morning, amen. You need some special prayer, whatever case it may be, whatever. We are here to help in any way God sees fit. But we need you with this time. Just if you need God, we want to give you that opportunity, amen. Is there prayer? Is there anybody else that needs anything from God this morning, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. Well, I'm going to ask if not, amen. If it is anyone, if not, stretch your hands to them, amen, as they pray. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of deliverance. We believe in the power of healing, amen, that God is working out whatever situation he needs to do, amen, that we believe and trust. I believe that God, that something supernatural happens when the saints rally, amen, that when we're on one accord and we're all praying, that's when God does his best work, amen. That's when we see miracles. That's when we see healing. That's when we see deliverance. That's when we see the power of God and his might, oh God. When we come together as believers in Christ and we pray and trust God for the healing and helping of our dear brothers and sisters, for our family, we ask, oh God, that you continue to do what you need to do in this day, oh God. We thank you in advance, oh God, that you are working it out, oh God, that all things are working together, oh God, in our life, oh God. All things are working together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, that all things are working together. I know it, whether it's pain, whether it's rain, oh God, things that don't make sense, but we trust, oh God, as you're showing us through this series, oh God, and trusting the process that you are working things out for our good, amen, that we never are taking losses. They're really just lessons, oh God. They're really never losses. They're opportunities to learn, oh God. So I ask, oh God, you continue to bless and have your way, oh God, as only you can, oh God. We trust in you that in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, there is power in your name. In the name of Jesus, there is power in your name. In the name of Jesus, there's healing in your name. In the name of Jesus, there's strength in your name. In the name of Jesus, there's forgiveness in your name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Give God some praise, amen. I do better than that. Give God some praise. Don't patty cake God. You really deserve a standing ovation, amen, because he's God, amen. He is the God of the Bible, the God of our lives, amen. So we thank you. Thank God for all he has done and continues to do, amen. This time, we're going to have our tithes and offering, amen. You can look on the screen. You'll see the text to give or our Cash App. And if you need an envelope, please raise your hand. Usher will be glad to give you an envelope as well.
Amen.
Amen.